but we're just happy to have you with us. And as we go to Second Chronicles, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse, we'll start reading there. And the Bible says in the King James Version, "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercies endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Say amen to God's word. Amen. We want to use for a subject this morning as you would take your seats. We want to use for a subject this morning, when God's in the building. When God is in the building. This morning, my beloved brothers and sisters, as we stand and proclaim this word, the Lord lets us know and want us to understand that we need to focus upon Him. Many times we have so many thoughts and ideas and things or reminiscing or thinking about other things prior to that we want to get involved in until we forget about focusing in on things of the Lord. For so many times, we allow so much of the outside to filter into the process, and we miss out on our blessing. Allowing other things to filter in, other things of our surrounding, what our eyes may see or what we may feel or hear, can filter into our spirit man until we miss out on the very thing that God has designed for this appointed time to bless you. And please pray for the preacher. Yes. Please pray for the preacher, for he is not exempt from any of the things that all of you experience just because they put a R-E-V in front of his name or pastor in front of his name. He's not exempt from the wiles of the enemy. Pray that God will hold him up that he might be able to do the things that's required. This subject topic this morning should excite those who are familiar with the glory and the presence of God. Yes. Now, everybody have never experienced the presence of God. One of the things that we watch a lot of football and basketball and sports activities. And one of the things I heard, they had a special, they got this thing on Sports Center, ESPN, called 30 to 30. Yes. And one of the guys was talking about, you never experience the jubilation of running out on a field when there's thousands of people just bringing that exuberant and all of that energy toward the players. Amen. Say something about it. Feel like you're so pumped up, you feel like you can run through a brick wall. Yes, sir. It just got you all hyped up. But there is something greater than a band or greater than all those other things. That's being in the presence of God. Hallelujah. You ever seen somebody who has the kind of praise and who has the life expectancy to understand that my God is an awesome God, is more than just a word? Until they understand that when they be in the presence of God, what that really means to them. As we look at the subject matter, this is known as an encounter with God, and it's called the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory. Most people have little understanding of what the Shekinah glory of God is, let alone realize that this prophetic significance of this manifestation of God, the Shekinah glory, is coined through an extra biblical expression. Hallelujah. And it is a form of a Hebrew word that literally means he caused to dwell. Or he will dwell. See, you got to understand something. All of us got something in us, whether it be of God or something else. You got something in you now. There's something that fuels you to be who you are. You don't feel it. You don't know what I'm talking about? There's sometime you ever been to the place and you say things like, something told me to do it. Or something came over me. Well, all of us got something inside of us. Amen. Something indwelling inside of us to kind of make us move and do the things that we do. We don't always know how to explain it. But there's something move. But there is something about the Shekinah glory of God that we will discuss in this preaching time this morning for us to understand that this visitation and this presence come from the Almighty God. It makes you want to clap your hands when you don't have a reason to clap your hands. It makes you want to jump for joy when you know that your limbs are not able to do what you think it should be able to do. The Shekinah glory is in such a way that folk don't have, many times today, folk don't like to exhibit the Shekinah glory simply because it's an extraordinary gift from God that many people don't understand. It's odd to see some people shouting in the modern day church simply because they got so much other stuff in them until the Shekinah glory don't have free reign. The Shekinah glory don't have free reign because we simply got so much other stuff in us that we allow to become priority in our life until the glory and the presence of God cannot be revealed. Oh, it's tight here. In the book of Revelation, we need to get a thorough understanding of the concept of this physical manifestation of our Creator. In Revelations 21 and 22, it says, and I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it up, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, what is the Bible telling us here? That when the Shekinah glory goes up, everything else got to go. There is no need for other stuff when the Shekinah glory shows up. When the Shekinah glory as shown in Revelation in this time of dispensation, you understand that when this time comes, the moon can take vacation. The sun don't have a need for it anymore because the Shekinah have shown up. And therefore, when the Shekinah shows up, there is no need for the physical aspects of what you and I have experienced over our life because the abundance of God is being displayed. And when the people of God understand that God is so unique in his way, he don't need help. He just won't call upon things for certain assignments. Now, I'm going to break this down to you. Well, how does that have an impact on today's church? When the Shekinah glory come upon the people of God, how many know there are extraordinary things that happen to bring glory to God? Well, the reason why you clap your hand is not so much because you feel happy, but you know the one who gave you happiness. Oh, help me, somebody in here. See, we got to understand something. When you're giving God glory, it's not because of what he's given you, but because of knowing who he is and knowing, understanding that he is the giver of all things. And I come to the understanding, know this morning that when the people of God can identify the Shekinah glory of God, it gets you out of your ordinary. You can't be what you've always been in the glory of God. You can't excel in the things of God when you're repressing him because you don't want to look cute now. You don't care nothing about what other people think. You don't care about what other people are saying. You don't even care about how you feel or how you look around other people because the Shekinah glory is upon you. I ain't preaching nobody but myself. But see, when the Shekinah glory is in its full glory, hallelujah, how many know man may not understand, but in heaven God said, I see you and I'm going to manifest something coming your way. This text gives us a vision of the extraordinary display of God's holy splendor. Notice, if you will, this heavenly experience illustrates the majesty of God. The majesty of God. It's sort of beyond our imagination to think, what if the sun didn't shine? It's kind of beyond our imagination that the earth and the things that we all take for granted, what if it wasn't there? What if oxygen didn't show up in the atmosphere? See, we think about, we got to come to that place to understand that our God is more bigger than giving you a car. He's bigger than paying your bills. He's bigger than healing your body. See, we look beyond the obvious to know that if our God hadn't been God, how many know that we wouldn't be able to breathe the air from the atmosphere? Hallelujah, somebody. Even though we men have polluted it, but God has filtered a way that you and I can still breathe. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. Now, just think about the Shekinah of glory of God. Tell the oxygen, stand still. Stand still and watch the glory of God. And God said, now, listen. He spoke in his word and said, son, stand still. Moon, take vacation. Everything, take vacation. Watch the glory of God. And the Bible said, lets us know that all the Lord have to do is wave his hand. How many know there's some power in the Lord? Not magic in the Lord, but he holds the world in his hand. He has all power in his hand. How many know that he spoke us into existence and we became a living being? I don't know about you this morning, but I give his name glory because I could not even been here today. But if it had not been for his goodness, if it had not been for the glory of our God, who is so merciful and so kind to be able to allow us to be here. Well, what started this movement of God? If you were noticing in 2 Corinthians, something must have happened that started this move. If you would take a brief look back on 2 Chronicles, it said, and it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were what? As one. Well, what really initiate the glory and the Shekinah of God? When people come together as one. Y'all missing it. See, some of you can't get it because you're so set up on yourself. But how many know how important it is for us to come together to be one? That we all on one accord. Amen. We come from different places. We got different situations in our life. But one thing we do have in common, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That we all understand that all of our help come from him and him alone. You may not understand my work, my world, and I may not understand yours, but this one thing we do have common. We know how to give God the glory. We know that where all our help come from is from the Lord. See, listen, many of us gonna understand something. Where we put people in categories, God sees us as one. White man, black man, colored man, green man, little man, big man, wide man, fat man, thin man, ugly woman, pretty girl. I love the way the songwriter said, we're all precious in his sight. God couldn't have all y'all good looking like me. It wouldn't be fair. And I tell our young people all the time, if you don't think you look good, wait for somebody else to tell you. You just know that my Lord made me special. I am what I am. My hair may not be like your hair. I may not even have hair. But let me tell you something. I love what God has made me, and I'm going to think I am what I am, and I'm going to give God the glory in what I got. Hallelujah. I don't have to praise him like you praise him because I don't know your story, but I know my story. I know God is still good, and he's good to me all the time. It's a good thing to know that oneness is unique in the eyes of God. The Bible goes on to say, they came to make one sound to be heard in praise and thanking the Lord. You remember on the early part of a discussion, well, in my presentation this morning, to let you understand, focus on God. Put your focus on God and put your focus in such a place that it puts everything else in perspective. Now, I'm not saying that what we're going through in life is not important, but how many know but when you put him first? And some of y'all in this room know what I'm talking about. When you put the Lord first, he'll make a way when it seems there is no way. When you put him ahead of everything, and you put him ahead of that sick headache you got this morning, put him ahead of that. Put him ahead of the troubles and trials that you're facing. Put him first. And how many know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And guess what? All them other things I'll be adding unto, but put God first. I thought about our musicians and the things that they do and their gifts and how great God has blessed them. And when we come together with the gifts of the instruments and the gift of voice and praise, oh, what a glorified thing to send to God. Because we understand it's not about us individually, but it's about us collectively. Oh, when we come together collectively, God know how to bless us individually. Oh, y'all ain't following me here. See, I was raised in a house of five, and all of us had the last name Scott, so when they call the name, sometimes all of us answer. But then they call us by our name, our first name. Because if you call Scott, guess what happened? All the Scots answer. Oh, y'all ain't following me here. When God calls the church, all of us answer, but when he began to call you by your name, you know God has something designed just for you. Anybody in this room this morning know that the Lord knows just what you stand in need of. So when you talk to the Lord, although we're coming together collectively as a body, see, he knows my needs as well as yours. So you may not need what I need, but God knows everything that we need. Somebody need to praise God and thank him for being able to know you by your name. Have you ever received anything from somebody and you say, I don't need this? I wonder why they gave me this. I don't need this. You know? Listen, Lord Jesus. Many of you understand when you receive something, you're grateful for what you receive. You're thankful for it, but you just don't have a need for it. Amen. You don't give me a scooter. I don't have no use for a scooter. I'm looking at the scooter like, is this show? This is for me. I might even call my children, and I know my son probably said, ain't for me. But for somebody, maybe even the grandchildren that might can have a use for it. How many of you realize that God knows just what you stand in need of? He don't just give you anything. Somebody told us in devotion this morning, ask him for what you want. And God will give you the desires of your heart. Am I helping somebody here this morning to understand all you got to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me. It's not my mother, not my father, not my sister, brother, but it's me, Lord, standing in the need of a blessing. I don't know about you, but when I call on him, sometimes I have to stand for me. I'm getting somewhere. The Bible said in this that he said, with the trumpet, the voice, their voices with the trumpet and the simplest instrument of music. And praise the Lord, saying, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Anybody in this room understand the mercies of God? I know everybody in this room listened to our president preach this last week. But let me tell you something about President Obama preaching last week. I don't know if you noticed it, Brother Superior, but when Brother Obama began, well, President Obama, I'm sorry, he's still a brother now. When he began to make his presentation, you heard the musician, dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, I said, uh-oh. They pushing him now, they getting ready. Then, I was waiting on them to say, well, 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 well. But they had begun to get in a place that all of them can unite themselves. And when he began to utterly sing a song, now, he wasn't the greatest songster, but he held a tune. But it wasn't how it sounded. It's what he said. He started talking about the amazing grace of God. See, as believers, if we don't understand nothing else, we understand that our God is a gracious God. And y'all ain't praying with me here. See, even though the musicians ain't saying that, what I'm saying should have some meaning to you. That our God is a gracious God. He looked beyond all of our faults and still got us up today to see another day. Tell me that ain't amazing. Tell me that ain't grace. Tell me that ain't the mercies of God. When the people of God understand that if it hadn't been for grace, I wouldn't even be in the number this morning. If it hadn't been for grace, I wouldn't know how to shout and fight my faith. But the grace of God still pleading my case, still saying, Lord, give him another chance. Oh, I'm holding something here. But see, this isn't the first time that the Shekinah glory of God showed up. When the preacher got up and said something in that service, he said, we're turning this gymnasium into a sanctuary. A sanctuary of the glory where we can usher in the presence of God. Y'all ain't helping me. But see, you got to understand something. This was nothing new. Isaiah said it like this. It was the year that King Uzziah died. Oh, y'all ain't following me here. Somebody understand something. It was the year that King Uzziah died. The Bible said, I saw the light. Y'all, glory. You seen something happen in the temple. And the Bible said it filled the place. And something else happened. He said, on all sides of the temple, there were cherubims. That there were two wings on these cherubims. They had two wings on the cherubims. Do I have any witnesses in here? Anybody know that the Lord will cover you in the midst of all you're going through? Ain't God all right? The Bible said in that year that Uzziah died, he seen the Lord and his glory filled the place. And how many know when the glory filled the place, the enemy got to go? Do I have a witness in here? When the glory filled the place, how many know that joy will be ushered in? Somebody ought to say amen. And glory be to God. The Bible says, the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above stood seraphims. Each one had six wings, two to cover their face, two to cover their feet, and two to fly. And one cried out to another, holy, holy, holy. I don't know about the God that you serve, but my God is a holy God. My God is a reverence God. My God is above all things. My God deserves my glory. My God deserves my praise. My God is my all in all. He's my early morning. He's my midday. He's my midnight. Ain't he all right? My God is all right. Is he all right with you this morning? My God. My God. I'm about finished. Somebody knows something about being filled with something. When Junebug, Scooterbug, came to the reunion, all of us got one in the family. Don't sit there and act like your family exempt. All of us got one. At least. Aunt Mose, the oldest boy. He was filled with something. And y'all know what he was filled with. And I used to hear some of them old aunties saying, that boy fill up with that stuff. Now, today's it has to be defined what stuff you fill up. Because back in the day, I'm sure these brothers of 1955 might have understood back during the day, they used to have something called shine. It's all right in here. It's all right. We've been delivered now, so we can talk about it. They can be filled with moonshine. Amen, somebody. That kind that make your lips burn. Oh, I heard about it. I don't really know, but I heard about it. It makes your lips burn. But when you're filled with moonshine, you can tell. You've been there. In our modern day society, folks say, look at him. They're filled with that stuff. And they have things like, look at their eyes. Am I telling the truth? Because they're filled with something. How many know when you come to church, you ought to be able to let somebody around you know you filled with something. And it ain't no mess from the world. The reason I dance like I dance, the reason I shout like I shout, that something happened on the inside, something going on the inside. I just can't hold my peace. It's the joy of the Lord that filled my heart. Do I have anybody in here know what I'm talking about when I say the joy of the Lord? It fills you. Glory. See, what folk don't understand about the indwelling of the Spirit of God, unlike in the Old Testament, it dwelled in the building. Now, God, in this modern day dispensation of the Holy Spirit, it dwells in the heart of man. So these symbols are just what it is, symbols. They have no spiritual significance, but they're simply letting us know what God is doing in this church. And that's a Bible study. But if we know that God is in the building, we know that we've got victory. Because God's in the building. Not a building that's made by man, but something mightier than that. That when you see me doing right, I'm working on. Come on, y'all help me pray. When you see me talking right, I'm working on. When you see me sing and dance, I'm working on. When you see me praying in the midnight hour, I'm working on the. And when the Lord gets through with me, he gonna say, come on up, that good and faithful servant. Because the building is completed. But when God's in the building, Lord Jesus, we know how to treat each other. Amen. That's the problem. We talk Jesus, but we live like the devil. Amen. But when God's in the building, love will come out. Amen. When God's in the building, we know how to get along. Amen. With one another. We can be a great testimony of the goodness of God. Anybody in this house know that God is working on the building? Y'all ain't get this now. Amen. I hear a few amen, but so you got to realize something. This building ain't finished yet. That's right. There's some work need to go on. I don't know about you, but there's some work need to go on in this old building. Amen. But when I know who's a carpenter, when I know who's working on the building, I know things going to be all right. Hallelujah. So people of God, realize who you are in the Lord and know who you belong to. If you receive that word from God, give him thank you. Come on, give God some glory in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.